star of
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takara, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Well, they call me Hollywood Tommy.
That's
now.
True. That's true, because he performed a series of serial killings in Hollywood area. He's one of the most renowned killers of all time. Hollywood Tommy.
They call me the white-ass Dahlia.
We are, of course, joined by Emil Joaquin this week. How are you, Emil?
Hey, good. I'm good.
It's good to see you, man. Fresh off the Tonight Show. We pulled him. We were releasing this episode a little late, but the second Emil got off stage at the Tonight Show, he had to come on this podcast.
We're still in studio.
Yes. Hey, Jimmy.
What's up, guys?
Hey, guys.
That was much better.
Sounds like Mickey Mouse.
Hey, hello.
Oh, well, me and you know, and Tommy, we were in the green room. That's how he talks when he's letting loose.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Yeah, no one knows that. They don't let the public see that side of him.
He put some bass in his voice for the real
show. That's right.
Gotta scare him.
That is right. So, Tommy just alluded to it, but he was just in La La Land.
That's true.
Where you did the Netflix as a joke festival.
I did the exact one-woman show that she does in La La Land that gets her famous to the Netflix execs who walked out one by one.
How was the show? You did boardwalk comedy.
Yes, me and Luke did a show. It was very
Brett
fun.
Come?
No, he was actually going to, but then he was like, it doesn't really make... It was like he had other stuff to do, and it was like... I mean, Luke and I got paid, and we still lost a bunch of money, so if you weren't getting paid, then imagine.
For sure. Imagine there's no payment.
But show went great. I had some nice... And some friends drive up from San Diego to come, which was very nice of them. And had a bunch of friends come out. And it was, show went really well. A lot of
fun. That's sick. Hell yeah. I want to talk about these beer prices real fast.
Oh, yeah. So this is so funny.
I've been thinking, Antonio was like, this is not interesting. And I was like, this is all I want to talk about in the fucking artist area.
So there's they give you a pass. And there's the very joke was all a past guest of the show very funnily pointed out that so the artist pass, they had like a little joke on it where it says like artist, your name, and then
paid to be
it says paid
here.
To be here.
Yeah.
But then Joe
right
said,
now.
It makes it look like you paid to be there. I was like, oh, it really
that
does.
That is so funny. I didn't think about that at all. Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
that sucks.
So they give you like different places the pass will get you into, and one of them is the like VIP tent at the outdoor stage at the Palladium, which I went to because our friend's boyfriend was a drag queen in the drag show.
Oh,
so
yes.
I went to that, and it was
Michael,
so much fun. Michael, our friend, Michael Oberst.
He was telling me about that.
And that was, like, awesome. I'd never actually been to any kind of drag show before, and it was, like, very fun to do that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go backstage to this artist tent, get myself a little beer.
Ooh, baby.
I go back there. I get a PBR. One of the finest beers LA has
to offer. Of course.
Yeah. And the guy says... $14.50 And I was like, oh, I got the pass. And he goes, $14.50
Yeah, that's the deal.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you pay to be
imagine
here.
If you didn't have that pass.
Oh, my God.
You got to put a down payment on
it's
there.
It's like Lollapalooza price. It's like a festival price.
It was not only full price, but like,
you know, Billie Eilish isn't here. This is like, it's not Coachella.
Crazy.
This
is it is true that at a festival, like not like the Netflix one, but like in a, like where there's like, it would be funny to imagine like Billie Eilish paying for a beer.
She has to do like, that backstage.
$14.50
But then, Michael's boyfriend who was on that show.
Yeah,
got their first beer free, and then the second one they got a drink, or they were getting drinks, and they got a cocktail, and it was $24, and they had to pay for it.
That
and I
is
was like,
crazy.
This is fucking insane. Like,
that's why. So no drink tickets. No, you got no perks. They paid you, but no. Like,
I guess if you were on the show, you would get one there, or whatever. And like at our show, we got free drinks. But that was like that was by the venue. That wasn't
Netflix
doing
festival.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Hmm. That's crazy to think like. The one beer costs as much as a Netflix subscription.
That's how they're making their money back. Yeah, yeah. People sharing accounts.
People losing their thing. Yeah. Yeah.
And I did kind of lose my temper about it and tackle Dave Chappelle on stage. I was mad about the beer prices. I thought that was the best way to
express it. Well, he is the main comic on Netflix. So if you want to send a point, he's the guy to go after.
Yeah, that's the guy to stick it to.
Man, I woke up to fucking a barrage of texts about Dave Chappelle getting tackled. See, I told you so. Chris Rock getting in. Will Smith, everybody's in danger now. Did you see what happened? The man got mangled for trying to tackle Dave Chappelle immediately. His arm is backwards. It's like upside down now. Like, damn. That guy got fucked up. I don't think anybody's going to watch that footage and go, I should still attack comedians. Like, I think it's fine.
I didn't hear about it until like a couple hours ago. And my first thought was like, what if it was like a Jussie Smollett, like a fake? And then someone showed me the picture and I was like, okay, that guy got fucked up.
He apparently, I don't understand what the point of this was, but what I read is that he had a gun, but it was a fake gun that was actually a knife, which is like.
Yeah, doesn't that seem kind of like a fake thing?
Yeah.
Like, just drum up like publicity of like.
But also, what a weird weapon to have. Like, like you're like, it's like one of those guns that you shoot it and it says bang, but then another little knife pops out of it and pokes you in the head.
A little flag comes out of the head.
A knife with the flag.
And then another gun out of that. No, it was a gun the whole time.
No, it was a fake knife. You're like bleeding to death. Look at the little flag on it. Oh, man. Well, while you were in the Hollywood of California, I was in the Hollywood of Arkansas in a little place called the Little Rock Loony Bin. I'm lucky to I still have a piece of my mind left over, but.
I think I saw your Instagram post that was like, if anyone knows what to do in
Arkansas. I'm going to Wichita.
That's
going to be this weekend. But apparently Wichita is fun. And I want to say the staff of the Little Rock Loony Bin, wonderful people. I had a good time. Except for I almost did miss my flight because the owner was like, dude, if there will be an Uber like at 5 in the morning in the middle of nowhere in Little Rock. And if not, don't worry about it, man. I'll come pick you up. Sure enough, I wake up, not an Uber in fucking sight. Ah, no Lyfts. I am doing the thing where it's I just have them running in the background. I'm calling a cab company. Not a person is awake in the town of Little Rock. And so finally, I'm like, okay, I'm texting the manager. Here's all the screenshots of like me trying to do this. Nobody's coming. He doesn't wake up. I'm supposed to be at the airport by 6. And so I'm up at 4 freaking out about it. And the airport's kind of far and all this shit. That dude texts me at noon, like, hey, sorry, I just saw all this. I was like, I'm already home.
How'd you get there?
Finally, a Lyft, one of those popped up that was like, a Lyft is 25 minutes away, then they canceled, and then another one came. So we're coming into the pod a little kooky.
Oh, yeah, last thing before we start talking about the fray is I forgot to mention that the night before I left, Luke and I pulled into a Ralph's grocery store.
Love a Ralph's.
Then a very fancy car pulls in right in front of us. And Luke goes, oh, it's Fabio. And I was like, what are you talking about? And the man gets out, and it is Fabio in all his glory, still has the hair. Luke goes, yeah, I see him all the time.
That's so
funny. He's like
funny.
The only person Luke ever sees. He's like, I don't see any other celebrities,
such
but Fabio
a funny
is everywhere.
Celebrity sighting. Has he taken like a Trump turn? He feels like the type of guy.
I don't know. Yeah.
Like if his hair is thinning, he's not going to let it go. You're like, oh, it's just sad now.
It was shocking how good he looked. Where it's like, he has to be.
He's got to be in his 50s or something.
Yeah.
Let's look this up. How old do you think Fabio is, Emil? You know Fabio,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 65?
Emil's a little younger.
That feels a little old.
61,
though.
Roger Maris on him.
I'm
going to
say 59.
69. Okay, he looked tan, I'm assuming. Like just tan.
Oh, perfect.
I wonder. Yeah, it's been a while since we. Oh, 63.
Wow.
Who said that?
I had 61, he had 65. So
split the difference, although Price is Right rules. Oh, my God. They had this game. It's the fucking Little Rock Loony Bin. And I couldn't believe this was a game, and it was fun, and I did win money playing it, but the game was they would pick a table in the club, and you had to guess how many pieces of gum were underneath it.
Oh Oh my
God. Oh, that's so gross.
Yeah. And it was always more than you
would. Oh, yeah. God. It was more gum than table. Yeah.
The first night we played it, and I was like, I don't know, two. And they were like, oh, brother. And there was.
Welcome to Arkansas.
You're not from around here, are you?
Yeah, that's so funny.
19 pieces of gum.
Oh, my God. That's twice the age of consent there.
That's true. Tommy has all the age of consent memorized. Anyways, all right. Now it's time for us to get to the topic at hand, the fray. So, Emil, we hit you up kind of last minute asking for some bands from you. You sent us some good options here. I want to give people a peek into what we were looking at. And the problem is we have talked about so many bands on this show now. And we've even talked about the fray, but I think, Tommy, you weren't on the when we did with Mitchell, right? Because me and Jared talked to Mitchell about the fray years ago.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
But I couldn't remember if you were on it, because I remembered we did one with you and Jared at the in the green room, but then I thought we might have done another one with
that was Bare Naked Ladies.
Or, that's right, with Jonas. Yeah, with Jonas. Mm-hmm. So you sent over Chance the Rapper, which I think is an interesting topic. I think we would have to do the, because you said up until the last album.
Yeah, I caved.
I think the problem is like, before the last album, I felt like people loved Chance.
Yeah, for sure.
And maybe I think he got a little bit corny towards like in more recent years. I don't really like him anymore like I used to. And I mean, you had the hat. Like
I did.
Tommy had the three hat. Yeah. I wanted the three hat. I felt like once you got it, it was too late.
So my friend from high school was Chance's manager for the first like up until right after this last album, and then they both ended up suing each other, and I don't know the status of that.
Oh, let's get into the
But yeah, it was a guy I knew in high school.
Like a good topic for us to talk
fuck
about.
The fray.
So yeah, so that was why I had the head, and I got to like go to dinner that a Chance was at once. I didn't get to talk to him, but it was like very weird that I was like, oh, this is so crazy, and then I read about them both suing each other, and I haven't talked to the guy in a long time.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, the guy's
busy. I think part of it had to do with the guy I know, like telling him not to put out the album.
Oh,
I think he kind of knew it was bad.
Yeah. The stuff on Twitter, like right after it came out, he even tweeted. Yes. He was like, "Man, you guys really aren't fucking with the album, huh?"
Yeah,
and which is like when they address it, you know, he just then knows how big of a flop
for
it was.
Sure. And he kept doing that thing where he was supposed to go on tour and then he would cancel dates, and it was like it seemed very obvious that it was because of low ticket sales, and he was surprised and didn't want to be embarrassed and stuff. And yeah, it was kind of a bummer. And like, I don't know, there was the thing that soured me on him is him trying to do stand up. And like,
I don't even remember that.
So he went up at Laugh Factory, and if he had just gone up and bombed or whatever, that's one thing. But he was shitting on all the comics on the fucking open mic on his Instagram. And it's like, that is a bad fucking look.
Like,
man.
On Instagram Live, he was just like,
just in his stories. He was like, these guys are all trash. Like, put my man, some random ass dude who probably fucking sucks.
Oh my God.
It was brutal.
That's like the worst character trait ever. He doesn't seem like that guy at all.
And he's a young guy. So it's like, I get like being kind of a dumbass, but like, it was just annoying where it's like, why do you got to do that? You're already famous.
He has like 2 million followers.
Yeah. And then what was funny is he deleted the post, and then a bunch of the comics from that open mic posted like selfies with Chance. Like, guess who's here? And it's like, he just posted about how you suck.
Oh, he tagged me in a post too. What is it? Oh, man. They use it as a credit though, still. His next comic was featured on Chance the Rapper's Instagram.
Anyway, so yeah, chances. I do think we could talk about him at some point, but I think it would have to be through the lens of like the
You'd
recent.
You have to find someone who loves his last.
Yeah, album. Or like who's like, no, it's still cool. I mean, I don't know. It's tough. The problem is he was so cool out of the gate that it's tough with him. But it is interesting. I mean, we talked about it just now. And then Lady Gaga. Have we talked about Lady Gaga?
So we did, I think with Sam Taggart, we did like one of Lady Gaga's
songs. That sounds
songs,
right,
and
yeah.
I think we...
Yeah. Kings of Leon we did with Doug Smith, I looked up. Miley Cyrus we did with Lisa Traeger.
Yeah, recently, yeah.
ABBA we did with Joe Quesada. Future we did with Stavros. And now we are to The Fray.
The Fray, yes.
So the Fray, we have talked about them a little bit on the show. We did a live episode. You didn't defend them on the live, did you?
No, I did Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's right. Yeah. So we did talk about them live. We talked about them with Mitchell. So I've talked about this before a little bit. But the first Fray album, I was obsessed with. I loved it. It came out right before I was in college, I believe. And my freshman year of college, that was like a soundtrack for me. I loved it. And it's like, I don't know that I can say I stand, like, I still like it, but what is your entry point with the Fray? I told you before, you don't have to know anything about them, but what's your entry
point? I think the nostalgia of, I think I was early high school, like late middle school, early high school. And it was like I was like on the same like iTunes account as like my sisters.
Yeah.
So it's like I was kind of getting, you know, their feed. Yeah. And so I remember it being like, it's your first like angsty soundtrack. You know?
Yeah. Tommy, what's your background with the old Fray?
So I definitely liked Cable Car and How to Save a Life. I don't think I went much further, but I think I said this on the live show too, but the thing I always associate the Fray with is the Scrubs episode.
Yes. Where Dr. Cox loses four patients.
While How to Save a Life plays. One of the great ironies in television.
Hey, buddy, you ain't doing it.
Hey, listen.
If you just put your headphones on, you'd stop losing all these patients, man.
They're literally going to tell you how to do it in the song.
There's just he's like, okay, wait. Hey, we need to talk. The guy's like actively dying.
He has a heart attack.
Okay, he's not walking, so what do I do now? Sit down. It's just a talk. It's still not doing anything.
That is one of those like stupid TV moments that like really to me.
Wrecks you.
I think that's why the phrase, I think the part of their greatness is how like early 2000s they are, though. It is all those corny moments where you're like, I rewatched some of their like live performances and I was just like, oh my God. I mean, like the sorrow in this whole performance is unreal.
Yeah.
I don't know what we needed at that time, but it was like crazy.
It's weird. But it's like that sort of music. I almost got into Grey's Anatomy just because there was like a promo where Cable Car or one of those songs played to the preview, and I was like, oh shit, I might like this type of shit. I watched one episode, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Why am I crying right now?
Oh my God, you guys got to read this Vanity Fair article about the Grey's Anatomy writer. Do you guys read it yet?
No.
It's the best. It's this woman who lied about having cancer to become a writer on Grey's Anatomy.
Oh my
And like, got
God.
Away with it for like many years and was like using other people's stories and saying they happened to her, and like it's crazy, but
that
highly recommend.
Wild. Yeah. I can't wait to read that. Yeah. Damn, maybe I will watch Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, see if you can pick out which episodes she wrote. There's just like details about cancer. Like, I don't think that adds up. I'm so hungry all the time.
You know how when you get cancer, you get more hair?
My dick grows so big. Wait, what? What's going on here?
It's like the 40-year-old virgin pretending to have sex with her.
But yeah, she said that Anna Paquin, because she had worked on True Blood, she said Anna Paquin gave her one of her kidneys, and they reached out to Anna Paquin for comment. She's like, no, I didn't.
What is the boldest, the boldest lie that rocks?
You're like, hey, Anna, take the W. Take the dub.
Hell, I gave her both.
That's crazy. I feel like if I'm Anna Paquin there, I'm like, yeah, shit. Yeah, I gave this bitch my kidney. If everybody liked me, I gave. I'm trying to think of. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm trying to think of somebody who was another fake. I gave Jussie Smollett backup. So I found, speaking of like the sadness of their concerts, there's not a whole lot of interesting information about these guys. But one thing I found that made me laugh is in. The I searched for Fray controversy.
Nice.
And apparently, so they did a famously bad anthem at a NCAA March Madness game. They gave a bad they did a bad national anthem, and Brandon Flowers from the Killers apparently made fun of it. And
roaster.
Yes. you want to get the flowers? They don't smell so good, buddy. And now my internet's not working, but I found it anyway. But so So the phrase Isaac Slade, who is the lead singer, the front man of the Fray, he was pissed about Brandon Flowers making fun of them. And I watched the performance. I looked up the Fray's cringiest moments or whatever. And this was like the biggest thing. And it's not even that fucking bad. Yeah. I was going to play it on the show, but it's like all that's wrong with it really is one of the guitars is out of tune, which is bad. Oh, but the singing is just as good as any like national anthem performance.
They don't do like a weird like it's not like a totally different rendition.
No,
like,
it's
oh,
like
they botched it.
No, it's not like a Fergie. That's the thing. It's like once you have the Fergie one.
Yeah.
This just sounds normal.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Were they trying to be sexy like her?
No, they were just like, it was sentimental. It sounded like the Fray playing the national anthem, except for one guitar is way off.
They kind of would write a song like the national anthem. You know what I mean? Like about like a tragic, like bombs bursting. You know what I mean? Like it's not too far off from like their ballpark.
I want to find the, it doesn't matter. There's a funny quote from the guy who was off. It's funny ironically because he isn't funny, but he goes like, oh, I guess put me on the loser bus with Kansas because they lost that game or whatever because I fucked up or whatever. It sucks. Anyways,
I'm sure Kansas would love that.
Yeah, Kansas doesn't want your ass in there. The phrase Isaac Slade has said he will punch the Killers frontman Brandon Flowers in the mouth.
Oh, shit.
The musician made the vow after discovering his band had been mocked by their peer. Speaking to the Daily Star about their records, Scars and Stories, he said, "When we started making the album, I saw footage on YouTube of Brandon getting mad at a Killers crowd who were a little sedate. Brandon was yelling, 'Come on, stand up and dance. This isn't a fucking Fray show.'"
That's hilarious, actually. That
would be a great celebrity death match. Yes. The Killers versus the Fray.
It's almost like with comics. It's like tight versus like one man showy comics. Yeah. It's like it's kind of like the Killers are definitely like, "You fucking hacks." Speed it up.
The Denver group, best known for their emotive hit single "How to Save a Life," planned to get Flowers back for his words. "All I could do was laugh, because that's true. We do have a very thoughtful, sensitive crowd who don't get to dance too much. Still, I'll pay Brandon back for picking on our fans. Next time I see him, I'm going to punch him in the mouth." What a crazy joke.
That takes a big turn.
I love that he's like, "All I could do was laugh, but I'm still going to beat your fucking ass."
Yeah, he's doing like Mark Zuckerberg attempts at like, I know how to show emotion normally, like people.
Hey, sometimes you just got to laugh at yourself, and I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, and bring crazy violence in it.
It's kind of like the Will Smith thing, honestly.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, that's great. Keep my band's name out your fucking mouth. That's great. All right, let's get into the music. So you gave us an even split here between the first and second album. I'm going to get ahead of this and say I loved the first album, did not ever get into the second album because the first single on it I really did not like. And so it's on this list. You also did do a thing I appreciate where when I go to the Spotify, the top five songs are all six.
I know. I'm also like, that's the thing. I was like, am I a big enough fan of the Fray to know like deep cuts?
It doesn't matter. It's more fun this way, honestly. Yeah, I kind of like when
I don't think
this.
We're going to get any pushback.
No.
I could easily be talked out of liking the Fray. I'll say that. Within 10 minutes, you could make me go, "You know what? I think I hate them."
I'm really curious what Jared's going to have to say in his segment because he sent us a voicemail and he knows it's you. So I'm curious what he. I feel like it's going to be very much him yelling at you that you don't actually like this. All right. So the first song on this playlist is. You sent us it. I just looked at their Spotify. You did just go in order.
I mixed it up a little bit, huh?
No.
Oh, I did? No.
No, you did.
Damn it.
It goes straight.
Fuck.
Which makes my job easier. All right. My job. All right. Here is the phrase, "How to Save a Life."
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.
Step one, you say we need to talk. He walks. You say sit down, it's just a talk. He smiles politely back at you. You stare politely right on through. Someone stole a window to your right. As he goes left and you stay right. Between the lines of fear and blame, you begin to wonder why you came. Where did I go wrong? I lost a friend somewhere along in the bitterness. And I put out straight up you one night. Had I known how to save a life. Let him know that you know.
All right, people know the song. Slade says, in an interview with USA Today, he explained that he wrote this song about an experience he had working at a camp for troubled youths. Tommy was at that camp.
the other day. Near that camp.
I heard there's a horse stable near that camp. Tommy was found at.
Troubled hooves.
Oh my God. One of the kids I was paired up was a musician. Here I was, a protected suburbanite, and he was just 17 and had all these problems. And no one could write a manual on how to save him. I got a lot of emails about it. One kid died in a car accident. I guess it had been the last song he downloaded from his computer. They played it at his funeral, and some of his friends got Save a Life tattooed on their arms. The response has been overwhelming. All right, the fray, damn. Let's see here. He says, I still get an incredible number of emails. We've got friends who think it's great not having to think because they're drunk or high, but there's a better way to be happy. What a weird shot to take.
I'm liking them less and less.
Yeah. On September 21st, 2006, a Grey's Anatomy version of the music video, similar to the one made for Snow Patrol's Chasing Cars, was shown prior to the third season premiere of the show. The song was also released as one of the tracks on the Grey's Anatomy Volume 2 soundtrack album, and would be later used in the trailer for the Australian release of the show. Yep, and on the Scrubs.
And we all know Grey's Anatomy Volume 2, one of the greatest albums of all
time.
It's
so good. Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking that, like...
It's like the White Album, Rumors, Grey's Anatomy Volume 2.
I know I've talked about buying like the Now CDs, but could you imagine buying a fucking Grey's Anatomy
to listen to just during
soundtrack?
Your day?
Yeah. God damn.
Hey, DJ. Throw on that GAV2. You know what I mean.
You know what I'm talking about. This was the one of the first songs to rack up huge numbers of digital downloads as consumers made the switch from CDs to MP3s. It sold 3 million downloads, making The Fray the only group to hit that number in the 2000s other than, can you guys guess, the band?
Oh, it's a band.
Yes.
Is it U2?
No, but close. They got they moved 3 million. I'm assuming that's digital downloads also. Similar to U2.
Interesting.
No idea.
You're gonna be pissed when you
I'm gonna be pissed.
Guess it. Yeah. You're gonna be fucking
just give me it.
Pissed. It's Coldplay.
Oh, I should have
got it. Honestly, when you listen to The Fray, they almost have like a sadder Coldplay vibe.
Yeah, I mean, this was right in my Coldplay era too, so it made sense that I liked this. But yeah, Viva La Vida also got 3 million. Okay. 3 milli. Yeah. Let's hear another song because they put also the thing about
it should be said. That song still is great.
Yeah, I know.
It still works.
It's there. Yeah, it's really their sound. It's almost too much.
There are a few listening back to the because I listened to the playlist you made and then I listened to a few of the other songs that I used to like from them and I was like, some of them I don't fuck with anymore, and some of them I was like, this is still good to me. I still am like moved by it. I'm still, you know, I mean, if I watched that scene in Scrubs, I would still probably be fucked up by it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, this was also featured on the Scrubs episode My Lunch, as well as the episode My Night to Remember. How are they going to double it up?
This song got so many royalties. Like, people fucking love using this song in everything.
It's where the character JD looks back on the awkward moments in his life and says how that phrase song starts playing. When the song starts playing, JD quickly says, "No, not that phrase song," and She Is starts playing instead. Pretty good bit. I was into She Is. Is that on this list? I don't think it is.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's hear another song. So the next song is the song that made me heel turn on the frame. I was all in, excited for the next album, and then the song "You Found Me."
I forgot about this one.
How to Save a Life was on the first one, right?
How to Save a Life was on the first one. Over My Head was on the first one. Like I said, you didn't even split here between the two albums, but the second album. What is this? I think the second album is just called The Fray, because the first one is called How to Save a Life.
That's the one with the light bulbs on it?
Yeah, that's the one with the light bulb, yeah. And then I'm going to look this up so in case anybody gets mad. The Fray, You Found Me song facts. So this just has some elements that they're all pretty Christian. This song shows it more than others, and I think this is where I was like, oh, this is Christian music. Like,
it's so funny. I didn't know that, but listening to it, I was like, this is like Christian rock adjacent.
It's, well, when I was, this is what I was worried that I was doubling up on, but when I was in Baptist church, when I had like a community of Baptist church people, there was my friends had like a cover band or whatever, and they would play Frey songs, and I was pissed that they would not let me do the lead vocals, because I was like, you guys don't get it. You're not getting it. You don't have the soul. And I don't.
I can bring it. Yeah, I'll bring what you're missing.
I was like so into that band, and I was like, you guys have the perfect opportunity to have a huge fan sing some songs. Also, it was like at Baptist church parties. It wasn't like they were playing like shows. Anyways, I was like, but I was that into it, but they were comfortable playing this music because it is so adjacent to Christian shit without being on the nose.
To them, it's like almost like they're like, we're naughty almost, you know?
Yeah.
To them, it's almost scandalous.
Yes. But then, like, even this song has elements of like, oh, they're being a little edgy with their Christianity, but they're still doing it. Because
Christianity will come up during trivia later.
Ooh, very exciting. Oh, yeah, we're doing trivia later.
Ooh, all right.
Speaking of which, we should play these songs quick because we got to get to a couple more seconds. We'll do Jared after this. So this is You Found Me. I need that first part.
Oh my God, I forgot they say I found God. Oh my God.
First line.
I was like, they're so subtle about it.
So he wrote that he was at a camp, a summer camp for mischievous youths.
Yes.
And they were playing hide and seek.
Mm-hmm. Where were you? He said, ask me anything. I don't like the like non sequitur answers in songs like that.
Yeah.
It's
like,
I asked, where were you? And he said, ask me anything. That's not an answer to that question.
Reddit ass.
Damn, what if God did an AMA? You ever think about that?
You post it on your wall. Just do a TBH.
What would God post? hopefully not cringe.
Don't post cringe on me.
Even God. What if God post cringy shit?
It is funny with the fray, though. This is almost a Chance the Rapper thing of it's like, once you hear this, you go, you would rather them sing about like a dead friend than God. You're like, all right, don't make it like,
yeah, and it's like
God picked me up from the sidewalk. Right. You know what I mean? It's so on the nose.
I don't even, it does, like, look, I'm not trying to be like anti, if you're into this shit, that's great. I don't like the way they do it. It's just, I don't know. The smoking his last cigarette pissed me off. Oh, God, smoking a cigarette. He's very deep.
This is cool. Oh,
wait a second.
God's cool as fuck.
Wait, is God wearing a leather jacket?
God just fixed the jukebox by hitting it.
God just offered me a cigarette?
Whoa. I don't know what it is about this that I just, it felt like such a, like
youth pastory.
Yeah, maybe that was it. It reminded me of church in a way that like felt too on the nose and a little too cool, but also cash grabby or something. I don't know. There was something about it that I was like, this is not what I liked from them. But because I still I like his voice. Like I think he has a good singing voice, and I don't know what it's a little whiny, but like it's I liked that type of music then, and I don't know what it was about that.
Yeah,
but maybe it was like it sounded like some other music I was hearing around the same time that was also religious.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't,
it just triggered it. I think I was young enough to where I could block out the. I was like, I'm just listening for the song, you know.
Sure.
But then now listening back, you go, oh my God, this is really they're really specific here.
Yes.
But musically not bad, you know. It's
no,
that same
yeah, it
vibe.
Still has the same, like the hook is still good. It's not terrible. It's just this was me, maybe I also was outgrowing it, because this was 2008 that this came out, charted at number 7 in the States, also a Grey's Anatomy song. Let's see. Yeah, and it I don't know, there was just something about it didn't feel he said in 2009 he told The Sun, I dreamt I ran into God on a street corner. He looked like Bruce Springsteen and he was smoking a cigarette.
Oh, no.
I had it out with him and I asked, where were you when all this bad stuff was happening to these very undeserving good people? Slade, whose Christian faith is important to him, added, there were tough times. I was questioning my faith, angry at things that had happened in my life and the lives of my friends. A friend had suffered a miscarriage. I had lost my grandfather. I was angry, and the song felt angry and hopeless, too. I imagined what I'd say to God in the face of all the crap my friends have gone through in the last couple of years. Fair enough.
Hey, you God. Know?
Saying
cut
crap
the
is just, that's the biggest.
Cut the malarkey.
Yeah, as soon as you say crap, it's like, you're losing people.
Keep yapping, man.
Totally that energy.
Oh, man. What would Biden say?
Makes it even crazier knowing that he threatened to punch the killer's guy in the face.
That's true.
Knowing he's a Christian man. How dare he?
By the way, I just got a tweet notification from a show that I didn't end up doing from 2 days ago because my flight got delayed, and it says, "Let's go, this is the way." It's like this show already happened, and also I was. It's very goofy. Anyways, let's hear Jared's voicemail because we only got like 15 minutes left, so we got to kind of speed through some of these songs. All right, here are Jared's. This is our. Oh fuck, though. Part of the reason I wanted to have you on was I wanted to promote Limestone Comedy Festival is coming up. Emil's going to be headlining some shows at the Limestone festival. I hope you win.
Robin.
Limestone Comedy Festival in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, this very May. I believe the dates are the 15th and 16th. There's
12th, 13th.
Fuck, that's right. 12th through the 14th. Get out there. What a lineup. This is one of the best lineups they've ever had. They got Chad Daniels out there. I was looking at it yesterday, and it looked killer. Who else is on that? There's a bunch of people that I was like, hell yeah.
Caitlin Palufo.
Palufo. Yeah. If you haven't seen, I mean, you guys have heard her on this show. You love her. It's quite a fucking lineup. God damn it. Why is this taking so long? Oh, here we go. James Adomian, Irene 2, Bob the Drag Queen. What a fucking lineup. Emma Willman. It's killer. So get out there. So these are Jared's thoughts on The Fray.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's It Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a meal on defending The Fray. So this is interesting because Emil has not so terrible taste in music. And I'm not going to sit here and say that The Fray are like unlistenable or something. They're just very easily, you know, I'm thinking about it in terms of, it looks like these songs are popular like 05, 06. So Emil was probably in that same time frame that a lot of the music that I have sort of feelings for that I shouldn't is from that same time frame, but I'm just much older than he is. So I don't know, maybe I'm wrong on the timeline, but because this is just not good, of course. I mean, and the thing that's really interesting about this is it really shows it's a moment in time that kind of showed just how far rock and roll had gone by this point, because I mean, this just sounds like it should be played only at like Kohl's. Like, this is just and by then we were just so used to rock and roll music not being very good that like maybe it just doesn't seem that bad to him because there was nothing else like currently happening in music, you know, like rock music that was maybe more like rock and roll sounding. I mean, this is just like nothing. I mean, it's just too soft and just, and I suppose the guy can sing okay, and that's probably part of it too, but definitely a pass. You don't need this. All right, Emil, I'll see you next week. I love you guys and see you later.
Bye, Jared. Thank you, Jared. I knew that would be the tone.
Yeah, honestly, respectable feedback. Like, it makes sense. And he is right. A big part of it, I think, is the nostalgia of this era.
Yeah, of course. That plays a big factor in these songs. I do want to say, when did that Strokes first album come out? Because
around 9/11, because they had to take off New York City cops.
Of course,
the whole thing.
Yes.
Yep.
Because I was going to say, it feels like it's not that far removed from this, but I guess it is like 5 years away. Okay, well, that was Jared's thoughts. Fair enough. I knew it would be like that. I do appreciate him saying that he has a decent voice. All right, let's hear the next song on this playlist. I think this is my favorite Fray song. It's one of their most popular, of course. It's just like it came out along on that first album. Just like what the fuck? Why is this not pulling up? There we go. It is called. Oh wait, no. This is Look After You. I like this song too, actually. But I was thinking of Over My Head. But we'll play this one fast. Look After You from the first album. Okay, we don't have time to listen to that whole thing, but
I like the hook.
I like it. Yeah.
It might be one of my favorite Fray songs.
I think it's good. It's like it charted at 59. I didn't realize it charted, but I was into that, and I feel like it's just a well-written pop song. Like, it's good.
I'm like a sucker for a lot of these just because I like a piano and drum song.
Me too. Yeah, me too. I think that's like a good Coldplay comparison too. Mm-hmm. They have their own little sound, and it's not bad. I like that one. The song is about the first girl that lead singer Isaac Slade said he felt 100% about. What a weird thing.
So
to say.
This bitch was on 100.
Yeah, she's wanted to hold her hand real bad.
Now this other bitch, it was like my iPhone was dying. She was on red.
So I left her on red.
They're alternating between God and girl. You know what I mean? Yeah, what their song choices are about.
Let's see. He said, when the Fray performs this song live, they sometimes insert a small interlude after the chorus where Isaac Slade, the pianist and lead singer, sings the refrain, the refrains from Wonderwall and You Are So Beautiful by Joe Cocker or You're Beautiful by James Blunt. I don't like that.
You know, it's good when they have to reference Wonderwall in the song.
Look how similar we are to the real one.
This is before pulling out a guitar and playing Wonderwall was like hack, probably. You know what I mean?
No,
this
was cool, even though. Then.
Really, that was already bad. Too fast. Yeah,
yeah, someone who's done it. I will say it was already hack.
All right, let's hear Over My Head, Cable Car. This is my favorite Fray song.
I never knew that everything was falling through, that everyone I knew was waiting on a cue to turn and run when all I needed was the truth. But that's how it's gotta be. It's coming down to nothing more than apathy. I'd rather run the other way than stay and see the smoke and you still stand.
Love that song. Love the sense of urgency in it. I love the piano. I love the drum. It's just a classic. I thought for sure this song hit number one, but it was number 8 in the States, number 19 in the UK charts.
One of the I like that song a lot too, but it always annoyed me that it was Cable Car parentheses Over My Head.
Hate that.
Just call it Over My Head.
Yeah, I agree.
We all know it's Over My Head.
Yeah,
So I didn't know what this song was about, and reading about it, it is interesting. So this, I thought it was about a girl of some like a relationship that was falling apart, and I love the line "I'm losing you and it's effortless." And there's a few lines in it that I think are unique and good, but it's about him and his brother. Like the line "I wish you were a stranger, I could disengage," and then it turns out it's about a fight he got into with his brother, who was the bassist in I want to say bassist, right? He was. He played bass for the Fray before getting kicked out of the band in 2002. Isaac wanted Caleb to leave the band because Caleb wasn't so great. This song is about a conflict told through Caleb's eyes. Everything falling through refers to the band coming apart because of the conflict. In the song, Caleb wishes that someone had just been honest with him earlier and told him that they wanted him to leave. He then feels apathetic about the band and resigns himself to run away. The second verse is where Caleb calls out the rest of the band and says that they will find a new bass player, another friend, in quotes, but will just mistreat him like they did him. Caleb is in over his head because he thought he could be a great musician, but it turns out he wasn't good enough. So what's funny about this is this song is one of the two that rocketed them to the top of the charts. They've kicked him out of the band. They wrote the song through his eyes about how he's in over his head about his musician.
He's got no case to come back to the band.
Fucked
now.
Up. Yeah, he's not in the band. Yeah. Like they kicked him out and replaced him, and like they had to like settle it out. And like, you know, not everybody's cut out for the music business, but like, how fucked up would it be to hear a song written from your perspective that you are not getting money on?
Everyone knows I'm in over my head. Yeah. Everyone knows. They look at me up there. They think that guy's a dumbass.
This guy doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
They say, cut the crap.
But anyways, I do. Yeah, I like that song. I think that's a perfect pop song. It's got it all. Anyways, let's move on because we gotta cut through these. We're gonna play the next two quick. This next one is Never Say Never. Damn, that song rules.
Yeah.
Never Say Never. What did you think of that one, Tommy?
I thought it was perfect.
Hell yeah.
All their songs make me think of the Ben Affleck meme of him like smoking a cigarette, like looking all like sad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like the fray, like, you know, how to say life when it's like 12-year-old me or whatever. Like, it is very overcast music.
Yeah. There's no fun to be had in these songs, but you know, it's they have their moments. Oh, okay, cool. Sweet. Yeah. Okay. So the next song is Say When, and this is about telling someone when you're about to come. Say When. What are your thoughts on that song, Emil?
I like it. I think that's like them at their best, is these kinds of, you know, catchy hooks, like more upbeat on the, you know, the choruses and stuff. I think it's great. I think that's their sound. That's their better. The slow piano is too much.
Can't listen to that every day.
Yeah.
Sure. Tell that to a 19-year-old me. And then you'll understand some of my Facebook posts from back then. That was the only song on the playlist I had never heard before today. And yeah, it's not bad. This person wrote, I think it's just about war. I don't know about that. Could be. Somebody else says, I think this song is about a couple who got to know each other deeply, but somehow they never got close enough to each other as they both wanted for unexplained reasons. The girl seems to go through difficulties in her life, and the guy is always there, but he needs her to tell her when, because she hides her problems so well. At times, they don't speak. The guy is left wondering what happened, but it's something too deep.
It would be funny if the band was like, no, it is the cum thing.
Yeah. It's really just... it's funny to imagine typing something like this out. There was like another four, like five sentences on this explanation, and it's
like a full Yelp review for it.
Yeah. All right. So Tommy has one of his what are we calling it? The terrible twisted trivia. Tommy's twisted trivia starts now.
Okay, Emil, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
This shit is going to be fucked up. Yeah. So I don't know if you're ready. I didn't see you bracing yourself. This shit's twisted, man. Yeah.
There's three questions, multiple choice. If you get all three, you get to come back next week. Yeah.
If you get all three, you keep your voice. Otherwise, it's stolen to the podcast forever.
Question one. When the Fray were starting out, they considered being a Christian band, but decided against it. Which of the following explanations did they give? A. They said they believed God had called them away from the Christian music market and into the secular market. B. They said the devil told them he would make How to Save a Life a big hit if they signed away their precious little souls. And C. They said, we want everyone to hear our music, even Jews.
I'm locking in A.
A is correct.
Nice. What was A again? Sorry, what was the... I just remember that one.
They said they believed God called them into the secular market.
That goes with their whole, like, God is cooler than you think. Yeah. Right. Cigarette God. You know what I mean?
Cigarette
I remember...
Yeah.
That's a cigarette God thing.
God handed me a joint and said, hey...
A little bit's all right. I'd rather you do it in the house.
The house is just earth. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, two. At what store did two members of the Fray run into each other and decide to start a band? A, Guitar Center. B, Piano Center. And C, Uncle Tommy's Ye Old Dildo Shop.
The answer will surprise you.
Going with A again.
Yeah, you got it.
Damn it.
And finally, question three. The phrase "how to save a life" was famously featured in Tommy's favorite episode of Scrubs. What is that episode called? You may remember it from getting mentioned earlier. A, My Lunch. B, My Snack. C, My Pussy and My Crack.
Is it A again?
Three A's in a row.
Okay,
you got it.
Triple A. Triple A. And this segment is brought to you by Tommy's Ye Old Dildo Shop. Come on by for your fitting today.
And look, it is a. We are losing money. We are hemorrhaging money on this. Yes.
We don't care about making money. We just love selling dildos.
You're selling CBD on the back.
Yeah. Cherry big dildos.
What the hell?
I was going to say kind of big, and then I remembered kind of starts with
that's
a K.
That's K. Yeah. It's one of those that gets you. It sneaks up on you with a K.
Well, that was like the quick riff, and I was like, wait, I got to stop. Put the brakes on that.
That's first thought.
Kind of big dildos.
I thought this was funny. Guitarist Dave Welsh. I was looking for fun facts in case we had a fourth question. But guitarist Dave Welsh learned to play guitar after an unsuccessful attempts at both piano and saxophone. Dave has stated that Radiohead's "Everything in Its Right Place" from their 2000 album Kid A challenged his assumptions about music. I would never have expected the Fray.
You can really hear that.
Of all albums from Radiohead, Kid A, which is like arguably their least accessible album.
You can say like, okay, computer's got some, you know, Carmen Police has some piano rock kind of element.
But Hail to the Thief and Kid A are like, I feel like the ones that people are like, I'm going to stay away from that one. Especially people like in the Fray. But hey, there you go. All right, we have another segment to get to. We'll do this kind of quickly. So we hear from the listeners of the show what they have thoughts, they have feelings, and and of course facts don't care about your feelings, but we do. Right. So we ask the listeners what they think. We go to the Patreon first. If you get on the Patreon for $3 a month, you get bonus episodes and you get to have your thoughts heard on this show. So the first comment is from JV, who says, "Not to be a bitch, but this shit sucks." Love to hear it. Sean Bagley says, "Nothing gets the marinating Mormons revved up quite like the Fray. Also, season 5, episode 20 of Scrubs makes a grown man cry every time. Heavily features How to Save a Life." Yep. We got you, Sean. I agree. Cody Chadwick says, "In 8th grade, I thought they ruled, and then I heard How to Save a Life used as a Grey's Anatomy soundtrack while my mom was watching that show, and I was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't be liking this." I went the other way. I said, "Oh, I guess Grey's Anatomy actually fucking rules." Oh, this is good. Nick Clerkin says, "They make Coldplay look like Black Sabbath."
That's great.
That's so fun.
Did we get any on the Twitter?
We did. So we got Justin Cornwell said Tommy would like them more if they were called the Nay.
Hell yeah. I can't believe the Patreon didn't get on that.
What are you? Is this a horse reference?
There's a whole thing about it. I like horses. Thing. Yeah,
Tommy's into horses.
Our friend of the show, Starless, says the Fray makes music perfect for the soundtrack to buying razors, paper towels, and aspirin at Walgreens.
Nice.
Who is this? Oh, Redu Bandar says, "If it weren't for Scrubs, we wouldn't know them." Josh Austin says, "If you hear them in the third act of an episode of Scrubs, buckle up, because comedy time is over."
Someone's dying.
Post PBS and Jay Leno says, "Great music for when you want to pretend to be in a primetime basic cable drama." Yep. And then last, we had a little flip. We had Brad Guy Fieri said, "You Found Me is a phenomenal song. Where the Story Ends should have been the single. This band is awesome. I'll defend this band musically till the end of time."
Hey.
And you probably won't like the episode if you listen to it, Brad Guy.
Hey, I like that song. So, oh wait, you said You Found Me. I hate that song. Never mind. I thought you said never mind. I thought it was the other song that I never mind.
Yeah, right. We weren't too hard on him.
No. Hey, good for you. I'm glad you like it. Like I said, there's just some the moments that I find a little cringy in there, but that's fine. Facebook, I'll just read a couple. This is really interesting. I forgot about this. James Boyd comments their debut album was recorded right here in Bloomington.
Oh shit.
Ooh, wow.
Those guys loved Little Zagreb. Interesting. That's a fancy steak place in Bloomington, I believe. Derek Hart says their cover of Kanye's Heartless is a banger. I've not heard that, I don't think.
I didn't know that
existed. Yeah, me neither. Wow.
Tim Platt deleted some of his comments. He had more on here. He said that he loved The Fray and that either How to Save a Life or Cable Car, I think he said, was his go-to karaoke. That's interesting. Mitchell Potts, who defended them before, said, when I was in high school, I would listen to Over My Head over and over again and just wistfully think about this girl I had a crush on. Years later, I found out that the song is about Isaac Slade's relationship with his brother. Pretty sick. Ethan Master says, my mom's ringtone on her phone for years was How to Save a Life, and I'm not sure if she knew the meaning to that song. All right, last one. Tim J. Wells says, best band to come out of the post-grunge era.
Wow, okay.
I don't know about
that is a big statement, wow.
All right, this brings us to our final segment of the show.
He said Kurt Cobain died so The Fray could live.
All right, Emil, give us your final thoughts on The Fray.
Final thoughts, they definitely are, you know, they have their downfalls.
Sure.
But I think for what they are, they nailed it. They nailed that sound. They were like, you know, they're a band version of Adele. They're sad music when you want to be sad.
Yeah.
It's a crush in high school music.
Sure.
Which, yes. You know, either
Tommy has one of those.
Yeah. But yeah, I think for its thing, it's good. It's good at being its own thing. Mm-hmm. It's not everyday music for sure though.
Yeah.
Sure. Fair enough.
Well said.
I still have a little place in my heart for The Fray. And even the song You Found Me is even though I find it, I have my issues with it. While we were listening to it, I was like, you know, this isn't that bad. I get it. It wasn't one that I was going to follow them with. But I do like a lot of these songs. I like Look After You. I don't mind Never Say Never. It doesn't have the same nostalgia factor for me, but I still love How to Save a Life and Over My Head and Look After You. And for the rest of it, I'll give a point two. So I'm going to go with a 4 out of 6. Tommy, what do you think?
That's it. For me, this is like the ultimate 3 out of 6 band.
Sure.
It's like you don't hate them, you don't love them, you hear them, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it will always be for me.
That's fair.
But I definitely don't hate the sound. I think they're, competent and good. You know, it's just like one of those bands.
You heard it here, folks.
Totally.
Competent.
They can play instruments.
Yes.
But I mean, that brother couldn't.
No, he fucking sucked. And everyone knew. Emil, you get to give your thoughts on you get to give your rating of the playlist as well.
Out of 6?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll go 3.5, 4.
Under Tom.
You went less than me.
Yeah. Because I think they need a place. That's why I'm defending them for they are good and they should exist.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they're amazing though.
Fair enough. This has been another episode of Stand By Your Band. Check out Emil at the Limestone Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
I believe it's next week, right? Yeah, next
weekend.
It's the freaking weekend, baby. Let's get over there. I'm not kidding. It's one of the best lineups they've ever had. It's so good. So get on that. I will be at the Wichita Loony Bin this weekend. I've heard it's fun there, so hopefully we have a good time. I'll also be in Indianapolis at the Helium the third weekend in May, so get over there. And then, coming up, I've got the Comedy Fort in Fort Collins and Kansas City Comedy Club and the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. I've got some fun dates coming up, so get out there. Emil, is there anything else you want to plug?
I think that's it, honestly, for right now.
Hell yeah. And Tommy, besides ye old dildo shop, what shall we promote?
So I will be in North Carolina next week. I'll be doing the Cary Theater in Cary, North Carolina.
Hey, is that with Patton?
No. This is a little old me.
Hell yeah.
And there's another show in North Carolina the night before that I cannot find the details on right now. But here in North Carolina, just find me. I think it's Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Oh,
I think.
Nice.
Yeah. But okay. I'm doing Thursday, Friday in NC, so check that out.
Hell yeah. Get out there. All right. We will see you guys next week. Get on the Patreon. We just did a bonus episode with Antonio. It was fun. All right. We'll see you next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.